go to Hebrews 5. One of the things that as you get older, if you study the book of Daniel, many of us have read the book of Daniel with chapter 6 when he was excelling. But as you get older, you should be more refined in your knowledge. Are you hearing me? The character of an older person is their precision and their understanding. Are you hearing me? The character of an older person is their precision. So when you go to them, they can actually put things together for you clearly. How many of you have been there before? You go ask somebody who's older, something's bothering you. When they finish with you, you get up and say, uh-huh. That is the beauty of being an older person. Yoruba says like this. The children may have newer clothes than the older ones, but the older ones have more old clothes than the older ones because they got more experience of how they have used it before. In fact, you know, so Daniel was spending more time studying toward the end of his life because he's getting to retirement age. He was working for 70 years. That's somebody's lifespan. He worked in public service for 7 years. So, 70 years. So, you have to start really work on what you know so that it can become better. Let's look at some few verses. Hebrews 5, verse 13. Or maybe start from verse 12. Can you hear me at the back there? Thank you. For though by this time, I'd like you to look up. For though by this time, you ought to be teachers. Okay, so that's time. That's time. You ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. I want you to look at this verse. Paul was talking, and he was talking about Melchizedek and Jesus, and he got to a point, he said, he couldn't go further. And he said, because you will not, let's look at verse 10. Maybe it's there like that. Verse 10. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Next verse. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing, talking to these Hebrew people. The reason why, because you are dull, is because, next verse. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles. Now, you see, there's nothing wrong in checking up on the first principles. That you can do yourself. But when you are being reminded the first principle again and again, you are not yet where you should be. So there's time in our Christian life when God expects us to be better off to talk to others. We're not teachers in church. We are teachers in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're not just teachers that you can... that means somebody is getting confused in church and you can make it better for them. So he said, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, the difference between milk and solid food is this. Milk, you don't have to chew it. You just swallow it. Am I right? But when it comes to solid food, you have to chew it because if you swallow that, it won't do you good. You have to masticate it. Same way, God wants us to start chewing things as we get older. We start chewing things. And the chewing will bring out the best in it. Let's look at next verse. Now, this verse that's kind of shocking to me in my younger age years ago. He said, for everyone who partakes only of milk, now take a look at this verse, is unskilled in what? Or he lacks skill in the word of righteousness. For he said, babe, you know, that verse bugs me years ago. I said, why not just the word of God? Look at that verse again. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why did he specify righteousness, not sanctification, not peace, not joy, not kingdom? Why did he specify the word righteousness? He said, for he's a baby. So there is a message of righteousness you need to become skilled in. Let me explain like this. You see, the older you are, the more you understand your rights. Are you hearing me? See, if you don't understand your rights, you're still a baby. So he's saying that there is a place of skillfulness in the word of righteousness so you can attend to your things. Not, see, baby can't attend to their things. Someone has to attend to them. But as you get older, you can attend to things. So it is vitally important to understand righteousness as a message. Give us this verse in NIV. You know, sometimes it's difficult to talk like this in church, but we have to talk about it so that we can go for that because you're older. For, is that NIV? Give us NIV. Uh-huh. Take a look. Anyone who leaves your milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. So how do you know somebody who's older? Not because he can pray and shake the place down and be something. No. It's somebody who is actually maturing, growing older, is a person who is acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. So if you don't, if you're not acquainted and familiar with teaching of righteousness, no matter how big you are, no matter how deaconess or pastor you are, you're not. You know, in our country, people are declared mature as more deserve. So if I'm a pastor, I'm not yet mature till I become a senior pastor, and I become a super pastor, I become a general pastor, I become bishop, archbishop. So in our country, we look at positions to determine who we are. But no, that's personality of growth. So he said, if you don't have clarity about the teaching of righteousness, about righteousness, you're not mature. He said that you're still a baby. You're still living on milk. You see, some things just irritate me. People say, but I don't say them out loud. Some words I never use. Why? Because you understand teaching. About, now, listen to this. Righteousness and holiness are not the same thing. Now, listen to this. You can grow in holiness, but you cannot grow in righteousness. You're either righteous or you are not righteous. Now, let me surprise you like this. See, this I'm talking about teaching about righteousness, understanding some maturity now. Now, Baba Deboye is no more righteous than you. It's holier than you, but it's not more righteous than you. Because by the way, righteousness, even our normal language, is right standing. Am I right? We say it's right standing. So it's either stand or you don't stand. Am I making some clarity over here? Now, for instance, now, we are all human. Are we all human here? We are all human. There's no superhuman among us. Now, you can grow in your humanity, but we are all human. Nobody is more human than me, than you. Does that make some sense? Let's do some definition, more high definition. Are you hearing me? So let's talk about righteousness. Remember, I quoted Matthew 6. Well, let's get acquainted with the familiar with the teaching about righteousness. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 33. Remember the verse last week? Matthew 6, 33. Anybody who hear this verse, you will hear this verse like this. Matthew 6, 33. Thank you. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. Now, you see, this verse has been read like this over the years. This is what we hear. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. That word righteousness is has been left out. And so what we say, become kingdom-minded. Become, go after kingdom business. And all these things are added to you. It's not being added. But can you read like this now? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness that will produce maturity. Remember? Teaching. Make us mature. You see, when your child says, Daddy, I want to have my car. You say, grow up. Am I right? Daddy, I want to go to the office. Grow up. Why? Because when you grow up and mature, you can handle things. You can buy your car. You can live in a house. You can have your own children. Right? So, Jesus is not just saying that. Do something like formula, and then you will become all the things added to you. You know, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Become familiar with his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added to you. Now, somebody said, Pastor, don't wahala yourself like this. Just have some dollars, have some money, and we are doing well. You see, you are just materialistic in your consciousness. You're not thinking deeper things about God. And what can money do? Yeah, you get some dollars, and then you die. Let's say you don't even die. You get some dollars, somebody's wahalaing you all the time in your neighborhood. What's that? What would that do? You get some dollars, you can't sleep well. So what's that? What would that do? But we're talking about the wholeness of life now. That will affect your marriage, your money, your life, and everything. So you say, seek his righteousness. Now, Jesus spoke a lot of time enigmatically. Jesus didn't say everything. Let me even surprise you. When Jesus came, he came to create thirst for better things in the mind of Israel. For instance, let me give an example. Jesus said, a man and a woman must be married, and he said, they become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And you must not leave your wife for anybody. Now, do you know what the disciple said? Disciple said, if that is the way of a man with his woman, a man should not marry. And that's true. Huh? Jesus was emphasizing that at the smaller level, if you are not growing, if you are not maturing, you can't live the adult marital life. You get what I'm saying? You can wear the ring if you want to. They can join you together by 3-5 pastors and, you know, Holy Ghost present. So, let's look at that word, righteousness. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Now, you know, God now is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Can you look up a minute? It's amazing that Jesus will now take one of those guys who were fundamentalists about law, righteousness, Paul, and teach him his own righteousness. Let's go and see. Let's go to our Bible. There's so much to see, like the man said. Have you opened Romans 1? Let's go to chapter 3, the Philippians book. Paul was talking there. We're talking about righteousness today, right? That we should seek. Also, that we heard to you. Philippians chapter 3. Are you there? All of us have heard this verse before. If you've ever been to university fellowship, you hear this verse. And they usually confuse us with it. Philippians 3. Okay. Look at verse 3, verse 10. We have heard this verse before. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Are we there? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his. When I was in university, it's our team to bring ministers to come and talk and say that you may know him. You have not known him enough. You don't know him seriously. But you know, our trouble is that we'll take a verse, a phrase out and make something out of it. But if you can just read before he said that and after that, it will help us. Let's start from verse 8. Paul was talking there. Look at it. Yet, indeed, let's start from verse 7 to make it clear. He was talking about himself. But what things were gained to me, this I have counted loss for who? For Christ. Look at next verse. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, look at next verse. That's left out. And be found in him. Be found where? What is the next? Not having my own righteousness. See, it's making, we don't talk about that. We just talk about, I may know him and we get all this trouble to know him and get to the bush knowing Jesus. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, next verse. That I may know him and the power. See, we just jump all that stuff and then just do what we like. I've been there those days, you know, growing up. But, you know, that's the only thing I thank God for that I've been blessed with. I'm not smart. But I happen to read the Bible together. Not just take one verse out. Our greatest problem in church today is taking one verse out of context. Hello? It's like saying, Panadol cures pain. So you take that Panadol as everything else, you forget all other drugs. So he said, I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. Why is that so important? Why? If you are not acquainted with teaching about righteousness, you are still a baby. The way you are praying, you know, there was a man who came to my office. He's a minister of the gospel. He's been suffering so much in his life. Suffering so much. So he came to my office and he came with a book as big as this, full of dreams he had been having. And he said, you know, his life has been difficult. I should try and see what I can do for him. And I should go through all the dreams in the book. When am I going to finish? I've not finished reading the Bible yet. What can we dream continuously? And your dreams can be very enigmatic. So I said I would do that. So I'm a Yoruba man. So I collected it, put it on my table, never open it. So the day came to see me. He came to sit down before me. And I said, sir, and I remember I've not read the book. And like, you know, student school, before the man come, you want to cheat what's inside there. When I open it, it's too long. I can't even cheat out of it to say, you can't do that. So he said to me, you know, things have been difficult. Things have been getting worse. And I've been talking to God. So I just knew that it's coming from that Nigerian road of serving God to solve your problem. So I went to my shelf. I usually buy books, pack them there. People, I know people have problems. So I picked the book and I gave it to him. I said, go and read this. So he left. When he came back, he was almost screaming in my office. He said, me o mo ba yen ni ah mo tin praise nu bosha yeah jesus ah papa yeah you know I said, he forgot the dream book. He forgot the dream book. I had to remind him that I will still try and go through. But he said, ah, I like you to change. Who better to change me? See, that's the thing. That's the thing. So let's talk about this. Do you know that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Later, he now called Paul to write 10 chapters on righteousness so that we can get it. Let's go, Romans 1. Romans 1. That's why the book of Romans. Look at verse 16. Take a look. Look at this. This is amazing. For I am not ashamed of what? Of the gospel of who? Please, are we here? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Why am I not ashamed of it? For it is the power of God. For what? To salvation for everyone. Now let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Why is the gospel the power of God to save? Paul said, I, just like somebody who is hawking the drugs, who is hawking drugs. He said, Ogun, we trust your God. I'm not ashamed of it. It can work anywhere. Why was Paul so confused, so convinced that this is the power of God? Look at next verse. He gave us the reason why. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is what? You know, all these our boys and ministers today, just they keep preaching everything, not helping people. They preach all kinds of things, looking for some revelation from somewhere. It's just making life difficult for average Christian. You know what? The average Christian today in our church cannot live the Christian life. They want to be a minister. That's what they want to be. They want to be a pastor. They want to be a minister. They don't know how to live the Christian life, normal Christian life. That's why they go to work. They can't walk. They marry. They have problems. He said, the gospel is the power of God. What makes it power of God? In it, the righteousness of God is revealed. So this Bible you are holding, what they call gospel there, what is revealed there, is not the anointing of God. What makes the gospel powerful is not the anointing of God. It is the righteousness of God revealed here. See, when you pick up your phone, what makes your phone is not the dressing. It's the microchips. Am I correct? Something like that inside it. Brother Peter, help me out. It's like that thing that is inside it. It's not the pangolo. All those dressing up. Is that thing inside it? Am I right? So what is inside the gospel that makes the gospel powerful? What is it? The righteousness of God. So we should make it our search. Let's make it our search. If we don't go further like that, we will just become like scavengers. See, we have scavengers today, Christian scavengers. We just pick from here, go to redeem. To Basim, Lossi RFC, Lossi RFC, Colossi, Mountain, Lossi Mountain, Colossi, Embassy, Lossi Orun. You know, we should not be scavengers like that. We should be people who feed. That's why people today, they don't want to get born again. They don't trust Christians themselves. They don't see what is happening to their lives. They don't see any difference. Why? Because righteousness of God has not been, not their own righteousness. Like he said, not found with my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Now somebody said, Pastor, righteousness. No, it's more than that. It's just more than ododo. Hello. You see, Yoruba world has messed up that world by putting ododo there. What does ododo mean? Ododo, Abi. Only ododo, right? It don't make any sense. Like now, there's no word for soul in Yoruba. That's the word for spirit. That's the word for body. But there's no word for soul. You see, the Yoruba will say, Emi, that's spirit. Ara, that's body. Oka, that's heart, not soul. So one day I was teaching about spirit and body. And I couldn't find the word. I said, okay, let's make it soul. All right? You see, what Yoruba could have called spirit, they call it Ori. Oh, you see, in our mythology, we don't understand spirit. So we call it Ori, Ori Eda, Ori Aseliri. So what they call Ori is what we call spirit. Praise God, somebody. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. But you see, Yoruba could be nice. For instance, if you look at the word conscience in Yoruba, it's far more clearer. Eri Oka, the witness of the heart. Hallelujah. Let's give something more thought. So, what is righteousness? It's not ododo. It can't be ododo. What's ododo? Ododorone. So righteousness is something different. Hallelujah. Now, let me explain like this, because yesterday I was thinking, God said, say it like this so that they can get it. What is righteousness? This is it. The Bible said, God said to Abraham, this, your servant won't be your inheritor. I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, what will you give to me? God said, I'll give you a son. Then the Bible says this, Genesis 15 verse 6. I want to make it clearer now. Genesis 15 verse 6. And Abraham believed in the Lord and he accounted to him for righteousness. Now look up here. This is what I want to, it will be easier now. When Abraham was having challenge in his fruitfulness, I'm not going to get a child. I don't know. And then God came and said, your son will be like the star of the sea, and the star of the sky, and the sand of the sea. Abraham, when Abraham believed God, it means this. He said, God, you are right. What I just said? See, are you here? Abraham said, Lord, you are right. When God had that, he said, God, you are right. My body is wrong. My circumstances, they are wrong. And that's the hardest thing to do. To come against yourself to believe others. Imagine, I said, this is white and black. And you said, no, it's not black and white. But my eyes can see black and white. But when I agree with you that this is yellow, I am despising myself. Am I making some sense? Is that clear? So Abraham was barren. He's been struggling with barrenness for 20 something years. And then God said, you are a father of many nations. He had to step out of himself and agree with God that God is right and his body is wrong. That makes some sense. Now listen, when he said, God, you are right, I am wrong. God said, for making me to be right, I declare you right. Shh. You get that? One more time. Let me say it again. When God said to Abraham, you are having a son. He can't have a son. He tried to have a son. Goyo. But then he stepped aside and said, God, you know what? I believe you. In fact, if you know the meaning of the word believe in Hebrew language, you'll be amazed. It surprised you. It's the word amen. When we say amen, hallelujah, you are saying faith, hallelujah, you are saying believing, hallelujah. The word amen is the word, it's common language all through the churches and Jews. It's the word amen. Abraham amened God. That means I agree with you. Against what? I choose that I know that I am experienced. You see that? Remember Zechariah? The one we read last week. He was serving God, doing all those things, and God sent an angel, you'll have a son. And he said, show me. He started to say, God, you are wrong. I'm right. So actually, righteousness attacks pride at its roots. You are no longer the measurement. God becomes the measurement. Whoa, did you get that? For instance, let me give an example. We have our wristwatches. It's set by the time called Greenwich Meridian Time. Now, you can set your own clock to whatever you want. Am I right? And you can say, GMT is wrong. But when you say to yourself, my clock is wrong and GMT is right, you are righteous as far as GMT is concerned. You have a standing with GMT now because you are synced together. Is that all right? How many of you have a new phone? I know some of you don't do that. When you have a new phone, it will say, do you want MTN time or you want your own time? Set it. Then it will say, yeah. You press yes. Then you say, plus one, plus two, plus three, African time, plus one to GMT. Say, you don't have to set the time. You just... Some of you don't know what I'm talking about at all. It's all right. So Abraham said, Lord, you said I will have a son. For many nations, I agree with you. That's right. It's over a son. Remember? It's over a son. I agree with you. Agree with you. I don't know. I don't feel like that. I don't think like that. My mind is really not about this. I'm not sure of this. But God, you are right. And my life and my thoughts and my feelings are wrong. That's what Jesus meant, that if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself. That's the meaning of it. Call yourself wrong and call God right. Let every man be a liar and God be true. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. That's the meaning of right, righteousness. Now, when God, listen, I love this. When he said, God, you are right. I'm a father of many nations. I agree with you. God said, for you agree with me, I declare you right. Now, you have a standing with me. We are on the same page. You are on my page. I can't be on your page, but you can be on my page. So when Abraham said, agree, I'm Abraham, God said, you are right. Now listen, because you are right, you have a right to the child. Clap your hands for Jesus. You get that? When you say, God, you are right, God says back to you, you are right for choosing me right. And I say, you have rights. So the enemy, the greatest weapon against the enemy is not fighting the devil. The greatest weapon is to agree with God. And when you agree with God, God gives you a right over the enemy. Whoa, clap your hands for Jesus. You get that? That's the power of righteousness. Does that make it clear a little bit? It's right. I have a right because I consider God right. When I don't consider God right, when I consider my circumstances and my issues right, and my what I'm hearing from people right, then I'm wicked. I'm wicked. As far as God is concerned, I'm not on the same page with him. So wickedness is not what you do, it's what you don't believe. In the original Hebrew language, the word wicked is the word unfaithful, unbelief. Hallelujah. I got a Bible, just this is a new Bible called Bible for Everyone. It's an Hebrew scholar who translated the thing. Wherever they wrote wicked, they wrote unfaithful, unreliable. Praise God. Praise God. Are we here? So is that clear now? Let me say, I'll say it one more time. That's why it is by faith. You see, faith is to have confidence in somebody else outside yourself. As soon, when I hear what God said, I say, God, you are right. I'm broke. I'm sick. But you said, now, let me go further. Can I go further a little bit? Can we go further? So we go further. Okay, now, remember, it was about a son that God and Abraham were talking about righteousness. Remember? Now, God was doing that as a prophecy. Because he's going to bring his own son. And whatever you do with the son makes you righteous or unrighteous. Romans 4, let's go. Romans 4, you see. See, it's spent from Romans 1 to Romans 10. Paul was talking about righteousness of God. So I'd like you to go study it a little bit. Romans 4. Take a look. Now somebody said, we're going to clarify that in a minute. Let's look at Romans chapter. What now? Romans 4, toward the end of it. Look at this. Look at verse. He was quoting the same thing. Verse 22. All right. Okay. Tell them to help us check. So they won't start having all this bang, really has been. And therefore, look at that verse. It was quoting Romans, no, Genesis 56. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? I'd like you to listen here because this is your deliverance from the devil and from all the powers of evil. And therefore, it was accounted to him. That verse, remember? Genesis 56. Remember? Therefore, it was accounted to him for Abraham counted to him for righteousness. Now look at next verse. I love this. And now it was not written for his sake alone. God didn't put that verse in the Bible so we can say, Abraham, no, he said, it was not written for his sake alone that it was accounted to him. But look at next verse. But for also for us, it shall be accounted or imputed or credited to us. Who? What? believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord. See, Abraham had to believe that God will give him a son. Now, we have to believe that God has given a son. Hallelujah. And he said, but also for us, it shall be accounted or imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now look at next verse. I love this. Who was delivered us up because of our offenses and was raised because of our being made righteous. So God settled the account. You cannot declare somebody's right whose behavior, whose lifestyle, whose past has been really bad. God will be unjust to do that, to declare somebody non-guilty, who is a criminal, who has killed somebody, except you are paid for what he has done. God credited Abraham with righteousness, knowing that one day his son will come and die and his past will be dealt with. Pastor, what are you saying? Romans 4 verse 1. Let's read it in the NLT. See, this is what makes us mature Christians. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? Abraham was, humanly speaking, what did he call him? The founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover that about being made right with God? Look at next verse. If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. He's doing something for God. He's working the house of God. He's blessing the Lord. He's giving God money. He's faithfully attending service. But that was not God's way. Look at next verse. I love this. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his... Can I ask how many years you got faith in Jesus? You are righteous. You are not going to be righteous. The same righteousness Baba Adeboye have, you have. Pastor, you can't say that. Baba Adeboye. See, that's the problem. Do you know why I said that? You know why I said that? Because when God counted to Abraham righteousness, he gave him, God gave him his own righteousness. Am I right? Am I right? God said, okay, Abraham, I'm going to credit you with my righteousness. Now, can I ask you a question? Baba Adeboye, does he have more God than us? The same God that counted you righteous, counted him righteous. So it's the same gift. Clap your hands for Jesus. You got that? Now, I know what you are thinking. Baba Adeboye, you know, that's where I've been in Nigeria. The moment you climb, you see, when you sit down here, you are normal. The moment they called you up and you can't, I am more righteous. There's a special way God deals with me now that no one of you can have. Okay, Morasi, how can you know? But you may look about anything. See that? No. Abraham was not a pastor, was not a prophet, going around giving prophecies. He was a daran, herdsman. And all of you hate herdsmen. Are you hearing me? They are trouble today. Abraham was a herdsman. And he was counted righteous. So he's righteous because of his faith, not because of his behavior. Look at next verse. I love this. When people walk, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Huh? But look at next verse. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Now, I'm going to tell you something that will help you now. Sorry for saying this. When people freshly come to Christ, they receive from God easily. The moment they spend more time in church, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, it's difficult now to receive from God. The reason why is very simple. You see, when that person comes in freely, he doesn't have any pedigree. He's thinking that, just as I am, without one plea. But after I've come in here for a while, mutididiki, emi mo nka wo church, and even awon mo keke yen emi mo feed won. So how can I, Oluwa, e wo ke to say? No! The same degree. For instance, whether you are HND or PhD or OOOO, we breathe the same air with the same nose. Am I right? Next verse. I love this. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. What's their happiness? Look at next verse. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Next verse. And yes, that joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Now, I know you won't think of this. God has cleared your record of sin. It's not going to clear it.
No, Pastor, I still messed up yesterday.
Yeah, the moment you repent and say, Lord, forgive me, it cleanses you of all unrighteousness. So don't keep the stain there. But you got it. Tell yourself, I'm righteous. Well, you can't even say that very well. I'm righteous. Now, put the qualification there. By faith. Okay, now if you are righteous, then the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. Praise God. That's you. Okay, Pastor, hand up. How do you hand us up now? Now, see, my biggest problem now is to be established in this righteousness. I have to find my way because, you see, are we here, everybody? Rabbi, you, if I put money in your account that I work for, I can easily say, oh, it's my money. But when somebody puts money there, it's not easy for me to say, it's my money. Yeah, it's my money, but, I mean, I didn't work for it. Let me use another example. Imagine I have a car that's running down. And then Sister Henele just said, Pastor, I want to give you a car. When he gave me that car, I don't feel like as if I bought it myself. Let's be honest here now. Anytime I drive it in town, I'm a lottery car. Not for many. But if it's your own car, it's my car. You know, I had that kind of experience years ago. Mommy, I know you know Mrs. Tony Abdullahi. You know her. Yes, thank you. She gave me a car years ago. She just gave me a car. I went to go and preach in that church. She just gave me a car. She said, I'll take that car. I don't feel like I'm the owner of the car. I mean, for months, I didn't feel like I'm not the owner. I am gifted. Doubly worse if God gives you something. Huh? You know, people, see. Sorry for saying this. Forgive me, oh. When they are 50, they will say, it's just the mercy of the Lord. I don't blame everybody. Say, I'm not blaming no. You see, we have all this way of just excusing. I know. But you see, you have to be established in what you got. Praise God, somebody. You don't know it's your own. For instance, how many of you? Sorry for saying this. Forgive me. Forgive me for this. How many of you went to school? With whose brain? Who gave you your brain? God. Is it your brain? See that? You are established in that brain that you use it for any time. You don't say, Anonimoriba. You know, it's your brain. God gave you. It's a gift. But it's your own. Be established in it. Praise God. In fact, if I call you doll, you will fight me. Who's the owner of the brain? So now we need to be established in that God gave us this righteousness and we can use it. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's close. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Let's close. You have to be established in this. Not that you are good or your behavior or something. Sometimes, I don't know, can I confess my sin? After living with my wife for some time, I know all her weaknesses. And when she's praying, sometimes I'm telling myself, woman, this woman is praying. I know all her in and out. But God will tell me, she's not praying to you. She's praying to me, our Heavenly Father. And you know, usually, girls are never wrong with their dad. All your children shall be taught to the Lord. Now look at verse 14. In righteousness, you shall be established. Not in your behavior. In righteousness, in that right that God has given you, you shall be established. If you go to the last verse of that verse, give us the last verse. Verse 17, there about. Quickly. No weapon formed against our prosper every tongue. Now, look at toward the end of that verse. Can you look up, everybody? This is the heritage of the servant of their Lord and their that their God-given righteousness is from me. I gave them the righteousness. So, verse 14 again. In righteousness, you shall be established. Praise God. See, as I get older, I'm understanding this more. I give things to my children. You know, one of them came home. There was a car that was left over. And then I said to her, take the car to work. She was doing her IT. I said, take the car to work. And then she said, take the car to work and come back. Take the car to work and come back. Take the car to work. Once in a while, I'll feel, what would they be saying about her now? I said, just shut up. She said, dad. Many of us sometimes, because of our society we live in, we don't use our father's stuff very well. You give excuse for the blessing. No, you don't have to give excuse. You are righteous by faith, and God has blessed you. Amen, somebody. And Satan won't take it, because the same that gave it to you will preserve it. Hallelujah. In righteousness, you shall be established. What is it? Next? You shall be far from oppression. Not because you are goody-goody, so powerful now, but because somebody has given you something and is adequate for your life and circumstances. You shall not what? You shall not fear. And from terror, it will not come near you. So when things happen, listen, when things are going on, you can say, not because I have power in church, not because I'm great, not because I'm anointed, just because I believe I have faith, and that faith is my righteousness, I can say this won't come near me. Hallelujah. You know, sorry to say this, our country has bastardized our rights.
Ah!
First time Dr. Aliba went to America, he said to me, he said, this is a land of the free. There's a freedom in the air. Nigeria, woo.
Ah!
I mean, it's amazing. That's freedom. You know, there's something about your rights. My first time in South Africa, I went to go and see one of our friends in church. So I got down there, and as I was coming in, a man was parking out. And I said, why? He said, he's a Ghanaian. He's living for his country. He said, he just got some money. I said, what happened? He said, he had an accident, and he claimed his rights. And they paid him so much money that he said, he'll go back and retire to Ghana. Nigeria. You're on your own. We don't have a country that preserves our rights here. They just preserve your right. I mean, if you disappear somewhere in Cameroon, Nigeria will say, Ambo Amue, Akpetokpe. That's Yoruba. You know, one time there was an American that was trapped in Niger or something, so northern part. America sent their envoy and got him out. We are 200 plus in Nigeria. Too bad drop. Oh, drop right here. So we don't have anybody protecting our rights. But we do it for our children, don't we? We do it for our children. We go any length for them. What are they paying us? Come on. What are they paying us? Brother Peter, what has Samuel paid you all these years? But what do? You still jump up? And your father is doing the same thing for you. He said, it's my right. You see, Yoruba will say, Bami no more. Kode no more. See, Jesus gave you that righteousness. Sometimes even you may mess up, but it's not devils to challenge you. It's between you and your dad.
Pastor, the way you are talking, you are encouraging sin.
I don't have to encourage it. It's already there. I don't have to encourage it. You know, like somebody said, we bought faith first aid box to encourage injury. We're not encouraging injury. It's already there. That's why we brought the first aid box. In righteousness, say to yourself, I'll be established in this righteousness. And I'll be far from oppression. I am far from oppression. I will not fear. And from terror, it will not come near you. You know, in 2001, when terrorists came to country, I asked myself, is there any verse about terror in the Bible? I found this verse. That means I will not be caught in their terror. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. Next verse. I love this. Indeed, they shall surely assemble. I like it in King James. Sounds better there. Sounds holier. Give us in King James. Indeed, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall. So your father is never behind anything against you anymore. Oh, they will gather. They'll be against us, but it shall fall for our sake. Why? Because our father is our righteousness. Praise God. Oh, how many of you have had that before? Somebody chasing you. You know, they're chasing you. You run to your house. You not stand in your house. Oh, yeah, Wally. Oh, yeah, Wally. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when you have one older brother who is bigger than everybody else, and we got Jesus, our oldest brother. Amen. Whosoever, let's round up verse 17. Let's jump. No weapon. No weapon. One lady came to me. They said they saw people against me in my family. They said, I should be prayerful. I said, you are wasting your time. Don't pray. It's not a prayer. No matter prayer. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Pray to your father. Talk with your father. But just keep on doing what you are doing. Just tell yourself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue. You don't have to worry about enemy anymore. You don't have to start praying about enemies anymore. No weapon. Ah, Pastor, Latile, not Muwa. I want to Muwa Latile. They design a weapon, a spiritual weapon. That weapon cannot prosper over you. Let's give thanks to God. Our time is fast spent. Let's bless Him. Can you come over, choir? Let's give thanks to God. Why? The choir is getting ready to sing. We give our offering. Let's thank Him. Let's appreciate Him. Let's lift Him. The Lord, you are there. My righteousness is from You. It's not my own. You gave it to me. I have a right to live. I have a right to be holy. I have a right to live above sin. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Oh, we bless You. We give You glory. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Just a minute before we sing, let me say something to you. So, Mr. Pastor, what does this have to do with holiness? This is it. You have a right to be free from sin. You have a right over fornication, over adultery, over envy, over bitterness. So when they come to you, you tell them, no weapon of bitterness formed against me shall prosper. The same thing applies over there. So whatever Satan can do is unrighteous, you're righteous in him. So you can't say, it's my habit, I can never change it. You have a right over it. You have a right to be free. Ought not this being a daughter of Abraham? Now tell yourself, I have a right to be free. I have a right to be free. Let's give thanks to him. While the choir gets ready to sing, let's give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's give our offering. Hallelujah. Let's give our offering. Dear Father,